give. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. A short segment in the first part of the hour. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And I want to mention that the American Indian Movement, Russell Means was a prime activist in that movement for many, many, many years. They traveled all over the country visiting with Indian nations, looking at some of the things, taking testimonies on some of the atrocities that the United States government, in violation of their treaties, had done to these different nations. And when we met the Wampanoag people, they told us that in researching the history of Thanksgiving, they had confirmed the oral history passed down through their generations. Now, most Americans know that Massasoit, chief of the Wampanoag, had welcomed the so-called Pilgrim Fathers and the seldom-mentioned Pilgrim Mothers to the shores where his people had lived for millennia. The Wampanoag taught the European colonists how to live in our hemisphere by showing them that wild foods they could gather, how, where, and what crops to plant, and how to harvest, dry, and preserve them. The Wampanoag now wanted to remind white America of what had happened after Massasoit's death. He was succeeded by his son, Metacomet, who the colonists called King Philip. In 1675 and 1676, to show gratitude for what Massasoit's people had done for their fathers and grandfathers, the Pilgrims manufactured an incident as a pretext to justify disarming the Wampanoag. The whites went after the Wampanoag with guns, swords, cannons, and torches. Most, including Metacomet, were butchered. His wife and son were sold into slavery into the West Indies. His body was hideously drawn and quartered, and for 25 years afterwards, Metacomet's skull was displayed on a pike above the whites' village. The real legacy of the Pilgrim Fathers is treachery. Most Americans today believe that Thanksgiving celebrates a bountiful harvest, but that is not so. By 1970, the Wampanoag had turned up a copy of the Thanksgiving Proclamation made by the governor of the colony, and the text revealed the ugly truth. After a colonial militia had returned from murdering the men, women, and children of the Indian village, the governor proclaimed a holiday and feast to give thanks for the massacre. He also encouraged other colonies to do likewise. In other words, every autumn after the crops are in, go kill Indians and celebrate your murders with a feast. Now, I have to ask you, how does that make you feel when you go to sit down for that Thanksgiving dinner or the one that you just had a couple of months ago? That's what was really being celebrated. And I don't know about you folks, but I remember that turkey dinner I had back in Thanksgiving, and my stomach is still turning now that I know the truth. But you know what? This is no surprise, really, is it? Because as I've been saying for months and months and months on my show, you know, when I woke up, when I become an awakened American, and my hat goes off to Alex Jones and John Stadtmiller, you know, as John said when his mentor woke him up, you know, he didn't know whether to kiss him or kick him. It's the same thing with me. You know, we're awakened to an ugly truth. And here's another ugly truth that we never knew. But it's no surprise. And why is it no surprise? Because we've been being lied to all along. We've been force-fed BS all of our lives. And I guess the encouraging, enlightening, and aggrandizing thing about it is we're waking up, okay? And they're not going to shove it down our throats anymore. And not only that, but we're going to go out and tell our friends, neighbors, and relatives, aren't we? We're going to get them to come and listen to RBN. We're going to get them to come and listen to the archives of this so they, too, they can share with their husbands and their daughters and mothers the truth about what governments really do. All right, going to go to a break. Phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443. I'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with more about the expose on Russell Means, the Lakota tribe, my guest on tomorrow's show. See you in three. Be right back.
Oh. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I was going to get into, actually, I was going to read a whole chapter. It's very short, and it's on treaty violations. But before I do that, a little bit of trivia for you. Let me take you back down memory road here, back to the hostage crisis with the Iranians. You know those big bad Iranians, the axis of evil that they've been beating the war drums with for the last 2 years, Cheney and Rice and Bush, you know, wanting to go in there and bomb them. You know, and Israel is just, you know, fueling the fire constantly, these bad, bad people that are the terrorists of the world. Back in 1979, remember the Iran hostage crisis? And we all know about that debacle when you know, there was a deal made behind the scenes that the hostages were going to be released the day that Ronald Reagan was inaugurated to make him look like a hero. But we all know the answer, or, you know, we all know the story behind that one. But did you also know that back when the hostages were being held, that the Iranian government allowed the hostages to send letters and packages home, but the only people that they would allow to deliver those packages were the Indians. Did you know that? They had to deliver each one themselves. So they could not drop it in a mailbox. How about that, folks? The Iranians, those big bad people over there that are threatening our sovereignty, threatening our world if they're not wiped off the map, they allowed the Indians to deliver mail to the hostages. The hostages' family, I'm sorry. All right. Treaty violations. There's a chapter in here called Catch the Bear. And it is, well, I don't know, 5-6 pages long. I'm going to read this in its entirety. Our presence at Yellow Thunder Camp brought into focus the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, signed by Lieutenant General William Tecumseh Sherman on behalf of the United States and by the leaders of the Lakota and Cheyenne nations for their people. It confirmed that my ancestors' territory extended from the north branch of the Platte River in present-day Nebraska, eastward through Iowa to the Missouri River, and north through the Dakotas, Wyoming, and Montana to Canada. In the center were the Black Hills. Our rights to the Pahasapa were confirmed in a document written in English that clearly stated the treaty could be amended only by the vote of 3/4 of all adult male Lakota. The United States desperately had sought that treaty after it had been defeated in battle after battle. The United States government was defeated in battle after battle and basically begged the Lakota for that treaty. Sadly, after all that fighting, it would have been all that fighting would have been unnecessary if the United States had kept the terms of the 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty and that granted a right of way through Indian country to the West Coast. When white soldiers began to establish forts along the Bozeman Trail to Montana's gold fields, my ancestors demanded that they be removed. Our people waited until 1866. Very smart, very strategic. When the Civil War had exhausted the white men economically, militarily, and spiritually, then the Lakota defended their land, attacking the white armies and driving them away. Just as we believed Nixon and his henchmen in the early 70s, our ancestors had signed the treaty in 1868, believing the words of President Andrew Johnson and Generals Sherman, John B. Sanborn, William Harney, and Philip Sheridan, known for the statement, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." 4 years later, without Lakota permission, Sheridan sent George Armstrong Custer to seek gold in the Black Hills. My forefathers allowed him to meander unmolested through our holy land with a big expeditionary force, and when Custer found what he was looking for, the Grant administration quickly leaked the news, and within months, our holy land was invaded by an army of miners and prospectors. Our people journeyed through our holy land, the Kesapa, and visited it for spiritual strength and renewal, but we had no permanent settlements there. Unlike the California gold fields, there were miners butchered whatever Indians they encountered. There were no confrontations, no massacre of innocents. My people, however, warned U.S. military leaders and civilian agents that if the miners remained, we were going back to war. But they left those early fortune hunters alone. My ancestors believed that when the white leaders in Washington learned what was going on, they would behave like human beings, honoring their word by forcing the miners to leave. But instead, in June of 1876, Sheridan sent Custer and the 7th Cavalry to solve the, quote, Indian problem. In what would become one of the most famous Indian-white confrontations of the 19th century, instead of encountering defenseless women and children, their usual victims, the marauders ran into adult males along the banks of the greasy grass, and they paid a big price for that mistake. Embarrassed and humiliated, the United States began to look for other ways to repudiate the treaty. Whites couldn't get 3/4 of adult Lakota males to renounce the Fort Laramie Treaty, so they liquored up a few hang-around-the-fort Indians, altogether less than 1/9 of the Lakota Nation, and, after many threats, got them to put their marks on an agreement that they could not read. This new document surrendered the Black Hills to the United States government. The larceny was called the 1876 Agreement. When the vast majority of my ancestors still refused to give up the Pahasapa, the whites threatened to ship them to Indian territory in what is now Oklahoma. The Lakota replied, in effect, "We whipped you once, we'll whip you again, so come on." The United States official said, in substance, "Sell us the Black Hills or starve." White agents refused to deliver treaty goods, including food and hunting ammunition, and still, our people refused to sell. The whites took our only holy land away in 1876. They murdered Crazy Horse the next year and Sitting Bull in 1890, and anyone else who seemed a possible threat to the lust for gold. Because of enforced starvation and dozens of other acts of genocide, my ancestors soon became too weak to resist militarily. White miners plundered the Black Hills of more than $1 billion in gold and far more in other minerals with no attempt at compensation. In the 1930s, the government formed the Indian Claims Commission. The Bureau of Indian Affairs told my grandfathers and grandmothers that attorney Ralph Case had been appointed to represent them. And by 1957, Case had incompletely surrendered more than 25 million acres of our Powder River hunting grounds and had waived claim to more than $57 million that the government said it had given the Lakota in goods and services to pay for the Black Hills. However, the white man's record shows that the sum was not to buy what we would not sell. Rather, it was reparation for years of treaty violations. The case was finally replaced in 1957 when lawyers from Strasser, Spiegelberg, Fried, and Frank, a well-connected law firm which represented several other Indian nations, took over our claim in return for a third of the settlement. We never wanted money. We wanted our land. We wanted the United States government to keep its promise. Ignoring that, the white lawyers pursued, on the Sioux Nation's behalf, $17 million plus interest from 1868, a total of $105 million for our holy land. Would anyone dare suggest that Muslims might take money in exchange for Mecca? Who is foolish enough to offer to buy Jerusalem from Israel? Which real estate developer would offer the Pope a great deal for the Vatican? Yet in 1979, the Court of Indian Claims, which no longer exists, by the way, said it was ready to pay the Lakota for our holy land. The lawyers pocketed their $10 million and washed their hands of us. The entire Lakota Nation lives in four of the seven poorest counties in America. The most impoverished people in America are the Lakota of Pine Ridge. Yet we refused to accept payment for the Black Hills. With interest, the settlement is now worth well over $300 million, but still we refuse to take the money that means nothing for a holy land that means everything. For most of this century, such men as Fool's Crow, Frank Kills the Enemy, and Weasel Bear dedicated their lives to the treaty councils. Carefully stored in their basements or in attic trunks are documents dating from the 1880s. Before the allotment acts began to carve up what was left of our reservations, dirt poor, dismissed as ignorant, can't even speak English, blanket asses, by many of their own people, and especially by those who ran tribal councils on behalf of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, those staunch Lakota people nevertheless continued to fight for our treaty. Until the American Indian movement came to Pine Ridge in 1970, nobody listened to them. The primary goal of the American Indian movement has always been to force the United States to live up to its own laws by meeting the obligations it took on when it signed our treaties. Are you listening, Jeff from Vermont? The American Indian movement failed to do that, but we did help restore respect to our traditional elders. After our many protest demonstrations, after Wounded Knee, after hundreds of Amesters died or were imprisoned, some of them on false charges, by the way, as you read through this book, people around the world began to invite Lakota leaders to speak at universities. Many, such as Fool's Crow and Matthew King, were invited for documentary films. The world wanted to hear the truth that only they could testify to from personal experience. By 1981, when we returned to the Pahasapa to establish Yellow Thunder Camp, many of those old treaty defenders had gone to the spirit world. The few who remained, elderly medicine men living at Pine Ridge, Rosebud, and Standing Rock, men who possessed a mysterious communication system among themselves, often came to Yellow Thunder, arriving nearly simultaneously to sit under the trees and revel in being in the Black Hills again. One thing that had always mystified me was their deep and abiding reverence to the Kaysapa. After all, they rarely visited those hills except to pray at Bear Butte. To get there, they had to pass through the ugly sprawl of cheap tourists' attractions and white men had erected along the roads leading to the abomination of Mount Rushmore. Then one day, sitting in Yellow Thunder Camp, I realized that after only a few days, the soil, the air, and the spirit of the Holy Land had become part of my body and would be so forever. When I had to leave the Black Hills, my body cried out to return. Each time I did, I felt instantly in harmony. That's what living in the Kaysapa means to the Lakota. Living peacefully and honorably in Yellow Thunder Camp, we worked hard to accommodate the Forest Service's ceaseless demands for paperwork, complying with myriad mindless rules and regulations and dealing with the lies and the innuendos published by white bureaucrats in the press. We hoped and believed that we would continue to use, not own, a mere 800 acres of our holy land unmolested. When in the summer of 1982, the Forest Service filed a lawsuit to eject us. Got a break coming up, folks. I'll continue with this when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Are you starting to get it? Are you starting to get why these people are so upset? I got more when we get back. See you in three.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm basically reading a chapter called Catch the Bear on Treaty Violations in the book by Russell Means. And you know, folks, a mere 800 acres of holy land, what they considered holy land, that they wanted to leave unmolested, the Forest Service wouldn't even leave them alone on that. They filed a lawsuit in 1982 to eject them from 800 acres. They responded with their own lawsuit filed by Bruce Ellison and Larry Leventhal. It said that since we had followed all of the requirements in submitting our proposal, and since there were many precedents for using public land in the way that we had requested, Forest Supervisor James Mathers had acted arbitrarily and had discriminated against the Indians when he refused to allow us to have a spiritual youth camp. Now, there's another part of a chapter I want to read here, so I'm going to stop there. But what I'm trying to paint is a picture here of the ongoing battle that not only Russell Means, but these people have been fighting for years, well, for 150 years. But Russell Means is just this particular generation of the Indian nations that has stepped up to the plate. He has a love affair with his people, and he's trying to simply get the United States government to adhere to and abide by the treaties that have been signed with these people. So, you know, I would equate that to I had a caller that called in the other day on the subject of ownership of property. You know, if you own a piece of property and you sign an agreement with the bank, the bank says, okay, well, you pay us, so much money a month and we'll allow you to keep it. But then later on down the line, they continue to jack up the property taxes until you can't afford it, or eminent domain steps in and steals your property away from you because they decide to put a freeway through your living room. Okay, this is a violation of a contract in which they entered in with you, but they muddy this in a gobbledygook full of legislation and paperwork and lawsuits. And even a Philadelphia lawyer or a string of Philadelphia lawyers, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes a lot of money. And what they've been doing to these people for all these years equates to crimes that are just literally unconscionable, folks. Now, tell you what, I'm going to stop this chapter. I want to read a couple of more paragraphs out of this. Russell says, as we struggled against hatred and racism, Yellow Thunder Camp became a big hit internationally. It was a camp that they had set up, that they had built to go and be back one with the land and simply pray and feel like they were Indians again. It became a hit internationally. That winter, when more than 100,000 English people, mostly women, held a massive demonstration against the storing of U.S. nuclear weapons on their soil. Some carried banners that said, Yellow Thunder Camp. When the snow thawed in the spring, many Europeans began to arrive, along with even more Indian people, including several who had found living in Rapid City a struggle. We became a huge extended family. He's got a little excerpt in there on Jerry Spence in this chapter, which reminded me of Randy Weaver. Jerry Spence defended Randy on Ruby Ridge. Russell Means says, Jerry Spence was the first lawyer he had ever met who didn't seem like one. He was a colorful talker, a larger-than-life swashbuckler, and he liked him instantly. Jerry Spence was going to defend or was defending one of his friends that was arrested on bogus charges of murder, of who ultimately, he asked Russell Means to come up with yet another witness for the murder, and Russell Means couldn't do it. At any rate, so much for that. I don't have a lot of time yet left. The phone lines are open, and I do have another chapter that I want to go into, and this is not about treaties. This is about these people have been demonstrating. They have been making their presence known. They have at one time taken over the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They have, as we know, the siege at Wounded Knee in 1973. They took over Wounded Knee for 71 days. These people, Russell Means has been shot. He's been stabbed. He is, in through his activism, has gone down to South America to take statements and depositions from the indigenous Indians down there, and he's been strafed and shot at and bombed by the Sandinistas. This is when he almost died in I don't know whether it was the Amazon River, when he was almost killed in quicksand. But this man is a very colorful individual. And as I mentioned the other day, I read his early childhood and growing up. And if I were a casting director, I couldn't have picked a better man with more guts to put him in this caricature of which he is, larger than life, to do what it is that he's been doing. So with that, I want to just go with one other chapter here. It's called Moses Cleveland. And there's a ceremony that goes on in Cleveland. I guess Cleveland was discovered, I don't know when that country came about. Here we go. Not going to read the whole chapter to you, folks. Back in Cleveland, most of the city was getting ready for the biggest birthday party in history. Now, I'm going to show you the character, the guts and determination of fellows like Russell Means and his fellow brothers. Biggest birthday party in history, the 175th anniversary of the city's founding by Moses Cleveland, who had surveyed the land next to Lake Erie and laid out its first town plan. Nearly everyone in town got excited when it was announced that Bob Hope, who had spent his youth in Cleveland, would make a speech and serve as Grand Marshal of the parade. It would begin at the edge of the Cuyahoga River and end at the park-like town square. By then, the Cleveland American Indian Center was well known around the city, and we expected an invitation to the Indian community to participate in the festivities. We never got one. We weren't about to ask to participate, but we felt very insulted at being left out. Finally, late on the afternoon before the celebration, somebody on the anniversary commission realized that their scheduled recreation of the arrival of Moses Cleveland, which featured a civic leader wearing a period costume and sailing up the Cuyahoga River to come ashore and read the proclamation, needed one more thing. He needed Indians to meet, greet, and dance for him. Stick with me. I'll be back in three, and I'll tell you what happened on that occasion when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny "Did you rob BillGates.com" ads. So let's get serious for a moment. Did you rob BillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business, and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? Did you rob BillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want? What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. Did you rob BillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And the good news is, folks, during the break, I just had a message on my cell phone from Russell's wife, Pearl Means, who informs me that, yes, indeed, Russell has a court appearance at 10 o'clock in the morning, but he will indeed be available from 1 to 3 tomorrow on my show. So we have definitely got a go, and I guess he's not going to be in court and be stranded. So, let me get back to this. So they're having a celebration in Cleveland celebrating the 175th anniversary of the city's founding of Moses Cleveland. And they needed one more thing. They needed Indians to meet, greet, and dance for him. So at 4 in the afternoon, someone at the commission telephoned Dennis Bowen. Bowen and I shared an office. When he got that call, he put his hand over the mouthpiece and said, "You're not going to believe this, but they want to know if we'll come down to where Moses Cleveland is going to land and dance for them tomorrow." I said, "Tell them we'll be there." We would be there, all right. Bowen and I, the rest of the center staff, and much of Cleveland's Indian youth group stayed up most of the night, painting signs and strategizing. In the morning, Bowen and his teams turned out in red berets. We assembled along the river, keeping our signs under cover until the boat carrying Cleveland was about to dock. Then we pulled the signs out. What did they say? "Go home, illegal immigrant, liar, polluter, stay away, we don't want your disease. White men don't keep treaties, and many others. Every time the boat came in, Bowen and I shoved it back into the river. Can you picture this, folks? I mean, this is activism at its finest. Here's a celebration in which Bob Hope is supposed to be there to speak. Okay, when all the public officials are out there and these guys that are invited there to dance are holding up these signs that they whipped out and they're pushing the boat back into the water and not letting it dock. I think it's great, but let me continue here. We might be 175 years late, but it's this time he ain't landing. The police were there, but they didn't know what to do. The shore was lined with news reporters, photographers, and television camera crews. They went wild. As the word spread, other reporters came running. The city wanted to get on with its celebration, so several officials begged us to let the boat land. "What do you want?" they said. I said, "We want to be the first three speakers after the parade." They were desperate to get on with the celebration, so the commissioner said, "Okay, but please, just let the boat land." When the guy playing Cleveland finally got off the boat in his colonial-style hat, he unrolled an old parchment scroll with a proclamation and began to read a flowery, benevolent speech addressed to the Indians. When he said, "We come in peace, and we want to deal fairly and justly with you," Bowen lost it. About 25 years old, well over 6 feet tall, and built like a fullback, he ran up and, with both hands, grabbed the tall, skinny, red-faced, elderly white guy by the neck and started to throttle him, shouting, "You liar! You'll never keep up your treaties!" That poor guy, he probably never seen the Indian before, or never seen an Indian before. I know he really wanted to be sincere. That was his role. As Bowen shook him, the three-cornered hat danced all over his head, an event captured by CBS News camera. The story also made the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Then we marched to where the parade was scheduled to end, at a big band shell in the middle of town square. Bob Hope refused to come there, much less speak. The Indians had upstaged him, so he just left town. A crowd of more than 5,000 people had gathered. I spoke first for about 15 minutes. Sarge Oldhorn went for about another 15 minutes, and when Dennis Bowen started in, he didn't quit for an hour and a half. Our speeches were very well received, in part because the white establishment had no answer for us when we said we hadn't been invited to participate in the celebration until the last minute. And then we were asked arrogantly to come and dance for them. The blacks in the audience loved it. It was only a few years after that the riots in East Cleveland began, so in a way, we were speaking for them as well. The local press lapped up all of this because the only other speaker who stuck around was Mayor Carl Stokes, and by the time he started in, most of the crowd had gone home. That's activism, folks. That's a guy who walks the walk, talks the talk, has a passion and a love for his people. And I have to ask you a question. Do you have that passion and love for your people? What about us in the movement? And I've said this on my show before. You know, I feel like, and I could be wrong here, but I feel like, and by the way, I've done this many times, I feel like that if I go out and I knock on a door of any patriot out there, they'll invite me in, sit me down, and have a cup of coffee. I've been to events. I went to the 9/11 Truth Movement last year in June at Los Angeles. Alex Jones and Charlie Sheen put that on. And, you know, it was at that event, that was the first event that I had attended since I had awakened. And I realized after only a couple of hours at being at that event that I had arrived. I had arrived with people of the same mindset. And it's interesting, and I know that you must feel the same way as I do, is that there's a particular bond that we all have. And the bond is that we know the truth. We know we're being lied to. We know the real truth and the real issues is what's going on, and we cannot be fooled anymore. And with that, there's a camaraderie. With that, there's a brotherhood. We're brothers and sisters in a patriot movement, and we can't back up and unlearn what we've already learned. And in a way, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, the Indian people, they're blood relatives. And in a way, we're blood relatives because we're all Americans. We're all people that grew up being spoon-fed that caca that I was talking about. You know, Custer was a great guy, and Thanksgiving, eat that turkey because it's a celebration for the harvest. It's all bull. But the thing is that we know it. So what is our job? And what is our character? What is it that we need to do? We can't just sit on it like the Cadillac in the garage when you don't put the key in it. We've got to get out and do something about it. And 2008's the year, guys. 2008 is the year. Ron Paul has got, Iowa's coming up, okay, and the mainstream, the corporate media, is totally ignoring this guy. I'm looking on the mainstream broadcast, and I can see nothing saying anything about Ron Paul whatsoever. The only place I see it's on alternative media. And he's going great guns, and he's raising money left and right. And there's an airplane campaign, a flying campaign going on right now with airplanes going all over the country with Ron Paul banners on them. I drive down the street in Scottsdale, Arizona, and every phone pole I see, there's a Ron Paul billboard on there. It's a sign. Okay, it's not a billboard. But where's this coming from? It's coming from grassroots, folks, you and I, and all the people that we're educating out there, and even the mainstream corporate dumbed-down, mind-numbed Americans who don't really know, they don't really get it yet, but they know there's something wrong. I engaged in a conversation with a guy yesterday that was just, I don't want to call him vicious, but he was just overbearing. You know, I walked up to him and asked him the question, cash or credit? Did you buy your Christmas presents with cash? Did you buy them with credit? And, you know, he asked me why I was asking the question. I said, because I'm taking a survey. I do a radio show. Well, as soon as I said that, and he was sitting with another group of gentlemen, which were very pleasant guys, and as soon as I said that, he says, what's your view? I want to know what your view is on Oprah Winfrey backing Obama on her show. And before I had a chance to even answer the guy, his friend across the table butted in. Evidently, he knew the man pretty well. And he says, well, I don't know that that's a pertinent – and the guy's like Dick Cheney in the bunker, jerked his head around and he said, shut up. I'm asking this guy what his opinion is of Oprah Winfrey backing Obama. And I answered the question. But here's a guy that was talking about Dick Cheney in the manner – that he obviously was a dumbed down Republican that believed that Dick Cheney was second in command and is a great guy and he backs him 100%. So I took that into consideration. But as we spoke here, I told him, I said, well, I don't know how many viewers that Oprah Winfrey has. What, how many does she have? Maybe 10, 20, 30 million? I don't know. But for her to come on and voice her political views about a candidate, it's no different than what I'm doing. But she doesn't know the issues, number one, obviously. She's or either that or she's bought and paid for. At any rate, all of those people that her viewing audience, what percentage of those people will vote for Barack Obama simply because Oprah Winfrey told them to, because they like Oprah Winfrey? So I pose the question to you guys. Is that the way to secure votes? I don't know. It was a very tricky question for me because I'm in the media as well. And this guy was trying to put me into a corner, which I wouldn't let him do. And thankfully, his friend stepped in and kind of saved me from a fate which looked to be worse. It could have been worse than hell. And I have to admit, folks, I'm not the most prolific person in politics. I don't follow on the issue. I know a little bit about a lot of things, and I'm a conduit, and I bring people that are experts to the table, and I bring issues, and I bring people to the table. But when people challenge me on certain issues and certain things, I have to be very careful about what I say, because if I don't know what I'm talking about, I have to keep my mouth shut, because that can paint a very dismal picture of somebody that happens to be in my position. So I was very careful about that. But at any rate, off that topic. Getting back to what I was talking about, here we've got a movement here that is growing. We've got a movement that is gaining momentum. We've got a movement that's ripping the curtain off the elites, the oligarchs, and we're exposing these people for who they are. And me being encouraged, being out in the mainstream masses of people who don't even listen. Every card I handed out last night, and I handed out at least 50 of my business cards, folks. Every card I handed out, not one person was aware of not only RBN, but they weren't aware of alternative media at all. They were so conditioned to mainstream, CBS or Fox News or whatever, that they didn't have a clue. And so I've made a commitment here that at least once a week, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do the same thing. Now, I'm going to pose a question. I'm going to report it on the show. Today's question was cash or credit, and I did that a little bit for the benefit of Cash Flow, the show that comes on before mine with John and James that does that on the credit card issue. But I'm going to think of a question every week, and at least once a week, I'm going to go out and ask a specific question to the mainstream dumbed-down masses. And it's interesting when I go out there, because it's almost like you're in enemy territory, because you know the truths and the beliefs that you have are not the overall consensus of the people of which you are speaking. And if you want to sit down and entertain them, it takes up your time. So if you go out to do an interview or, you know, a quick question, you can't really delve into it too deeply. But from this point on, I'm going to commit to you guys, the listening audience, that I'm going to go out at least once a week and I'm going to interview. I'm going to ask a question. Not sure what it was. Might be on the North American Union. Might be on vaccines. Pick a question. But I'm going to ask it, and I'm going to take a survey, and I'm going to report on how many people actually know anything about it. Because this is what not only I need to do, but you need to do as well. It's simple to do. It's just a question. And you don't even have to expound on it any further. So that's the commitment I'm making to you, the listening audience. But in turn, I want you to make a commitment to me. Don't just sit there and do nothing and wait to be invited to your next cocktail party and be a hit because you know something more about politics than the next person. Get up and do something about it. Just got a message here. Adam Gadon is going to release a video before the caucus tonight. Okay, that's Rob Bishop, my roving reporter. They're trying to scare people. Oh, they're trying to scare people away from voting for the anti-what candidate? Oh, the anti-war. It must be anti-war candidate. Anyway, all right, let's go to Malcolm, Chicago. Malcolm, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. Hello, Malcolm.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? All right, man. Yeah, I just wanted to just to add in on with you about the Oprah Winfrey effect. In the black community, the black media that's giving the information to the black community, most of them are pretty much may call them neocons or bought and paid for, but they're promoting Barack Obama, blacks to vote for him just because he's black. Simple as that. It has nothing to do with him talking about the political issues or solving any problems. We have black journalists, people on the radio that just simply are saying we need to vote for him because he's black. Simple as that.
Is that what it is? But you know what?
That's all it is.
Yeah, Malcolm, you know what the issue – I mean, this transcends just race, though. I mean, you as an awakened American know – that here, Oprah, I don't even know how many viewers she has in her audience. What, 30, 40, 50 million? I don't know. But, you know, a lot of people are going to vote for this guy just because they like Oprah Winfrey. Have no idea about the issues, you know, surrounding what he's for or against.
Well, it's the same thing with Oprah because she's black. And so they're using her because Oprah's black. Oprah's supposed to be trying to get the black Americans to rally around Barack Obama. The same as what happened in 1984. You remember when Jesse Jackson ran. He wasn't standing on nothing, but he just used his race.
It's sad, a good point.
All right, well, that's what they do.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good point, Malcolm. Listen, I got to run, man, because I got another caller on the line.
Okay,
I got a couple
right,
minutes left, but
care.
I appreciate your input, Malcolm. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. It's a good point that Malcolm made. You know, I mean, here she's backing him just because he's black. So he gets the black vote. He's got 30, 40, 50 million people that love Oprah Winfrey, so they turn around and vote for Barack Obama because he's black. Has nothing to do with his issues or how he feels on certain situations or the war on terror or anything else. And that's sick, and that's part of our job. That's why we need to educate these people, folks. All right, let's see. That message again. Adam Gadon is going to release a video before the caucus tonight. They're trying to scare people away from voting for the anti-war candidate, the war on terror. Okay, whatever that means. Let's go to Robert in Salt Lake. Robert, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. What is the name of the text you were reading from?
Right. I was going to tell you guys that today. Okay, the book is... And by the way, I don't know where to get it yet, but when Russell comes on tomorrow, I'm going to ask him because I know it's still in print. It's called Where White Men Fear to Tread. It's the autobiography of Russell Means with Marvin J. Wolfe. And it is probably, it is not probably, it is the, I have never picked up a book, and I've read a lot of books, Robert. Okay, I have never in my life picked up a book. This book is 570 pages, and it scared me. Because usually a book's 300-400 pages, and, you know, I get through it. But I've never picked up a book and been so encompassed in a book to the point where I could not put it down like this.
What's the name of the author?
The name, well, it's Russell Means. It's the autobiography of Russell Means with Marvin J. Wolfe. If you go to any bookstore or the library, just tell them you want to find Where White Men Fear to Tread by Russell Means. They'll know what you're talking about.
How long do you think it's been out?
Well, at this, I don't know what printing this book is. He said his wife told me that it's, you know, it's still in print. That it's been, I've said 12 or 13 printings, something like that. I think you, he wrote.
Usually, you find a book by the name of the author as well. That's what I was asking for. If is it Russell Means or someone else is the author?
It's the autobiography of Russell Means with Marvin J. Wolfe, and I'm certain that Marvin Wolfe, you know, probably assisted, if not wrote most of it, and he just interviewed Russell Means to do it, because Russell or Marvin Wolfe is a journalist.
Let me add to the conversation you're having. Sure. About that. I've been working in the American Indian things for a long time, and let me give you some meat about what I've found in my search, okay?
Yeah, okay, but let me hold you over until after the break, Robert, okay? Got a break, we'll be back in three, and then I'll let you talk, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Be right back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with Robert from Salt Lake. Folks, stick with us.
Okay, we're looking for...
Hold on.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
All All right, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with Robert from Salt Lake. Robert, you're going to give us some information. Got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just a couple minutes left. I've been calling for about half an hour, but at least we're on.
Okay.
I've done radio for about 18 years, and this is an issue I've been pursuing for about the last 10 years specifically. As I understand it, the Bureau of Indian Affairs has a map. They don't want the public to know they have this map, but absolutely they have this map. And the document by treaty, all the pieces of ground, where treaties exist between the U.S. government and the indigenous people of this country, right? Officially, there's more than 900 tribes in the country, 800 tribes that the U.S. government does recognize, more than 100 tribes the U.S. government does not recognize. What is significant is you can show all the treaties that exist and all the land, pieces of land, a tract here and a tract there. More than half of this nation has never been put under treaty by them to the U.S. government. It's significant. It's significant for a number of reasons, but one at least is, has the U.S. government here been operating, spending money faster than they have coming in for so long? Other countries have been buying our promissory note, right? Our promise to pay.
Right,
our promise to pay is no longer good enough. So as collateral, pieces and chunks of this country have been handed over to other countries. China holds our promise to pay, and regions of mountains, bodies of water, natural resources left and right have been handed over, at least on paper, to other countries who have been supporting financially this country for a long time. What's significant is there are other countries who think, oh, we have you in debt to us on paper. Now we own you. We own this piece of thing. Baloney. More than half of this nation has never been put under treaty. And at some point, right, this corner that we have painted ourselves into, we need the sovereignty of the American Indians. We need.
Okay.
And
I've got to stop you. That's great points, but I've only got 2 minutes left. I've got another caller on the line. I've got to plug my sponsors. I would ask you if you would to call in tomorrow, though, again, when I've got Russell Means on the air, second hour, if you would, Robert.
I was going to throw out a website real quick, and I'll be done.
Go ahead. Hurry up.
NATO, NATOIndianNation.com.
Okay, NATOIndianNation.com. Okay, very good. Yep. Thanks for the call, buddy. Okay, last caller, Don in Ohio. Real quick, Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that all of us that are going to boycott the sponsors of Fox, I mean, their stocks have already taken a dive. I think that we should do the next step. Anybody that has Dish Network, and I will be doing it as soon as I get off the phone, cancel their subscription to Dish Network. That's Fox Murdoch's channel or station or satellite system, I'm sorry. Everybody that has the Dish Network, if they don't show Ron Paul on there and stuff like that, cancel it. Let's see their market shares take a dive.
Amen to that, brother. You heard it, folks. That's a great point. It's a good idea. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it. I got to let you go though, Don, because I haven't plugged my sponsors today. I only got about a minute left. So thanks for the input. Appreciate it, folks. If you got Dish Network, get rid of it. Okay, I got so wrapped up in this expose today that I forgot to tell you that, yes, I still take Cardivite. Yes, I'm still running around. I exercise now, and I would suggest that you give Don Wiskin a call at 877-928-8822 because it's a fantastic product. Again, that's 877-928-8822. And also my buddy John Onesti, Onesti Investment Advisors. You have a question, a problem, an annuity, stock, bond, 401k. You want to know where to move money, how to not lose money, where to best put your money, give him a call at 505-296-2453. Again, that's John Onesti at 505-296-2453. End of another day, folks. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. And tomorrow, we're going to talk to the man who lived what I just reported today, Russell Means. All your friends, neighbors, and relatives, it's going to be a barn burner, folks. See you tomorrow. Bye.